We are activating your unique self-discovery one show at a time. The Orchard of Wisdom Self-Discovery Podcast are at your fingertips, just waiting to inspire and invite you in discovering just how awesome you really are and how to navigate through life in joy, enrichment, personal abundance, in mind, body, spirit, heart, and soul. All the people we bring you are here to serve you on your journey of life. Do enjoy our next show. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, everybody. Welcome back to another edition of Mental Health Awareness right here at selfdiscoverymedia.com. I'm your host, Sarah Troy, and my wonderful guest all the way from Hawaii is Christy Nix. We're going to be talking about the reset. What is the reset? Well, she says if you have a childhood, you're going to want to reset. It's that childhood that's within us, whether it's a good childhood or a bad childhood, we really do need to nurture that inner child, because that inner child is always speaking to us. It's that little consciousness of a compass that guides us along the way. She says, all of our challenges, all of your stress, all of your relationships that troubled you are tied to the pivotal childhood moments that shaped your adult perceptives. Whether you recognize them or not, they live with vengeance in your subconscious and emotional mind. This is why you unconsciously end up trying to solve adult problems with a childish copy tactics, amplifying the stress, repeating the bad habits that hold you back. Without rewiring the old triggers you developed as a child, it will continue to be difficult to take control of your future. You'll be stuck in the cycle of frustration, outcomes to adversity in life. That's where the reset comes in. Christy Nix is a professional speaker, visual artist, expert storyteller, and emotional clarity coach. She's edited and produced full-length films. She's a Reiki master, a therapeutic yoga instructor, a co-founder of the revolutionary coaching practice, Re-Reset. And the reason why I keep saying Re-Reset first, because it's two R's. And she's partnered with the PhD scientist with expertise in neuroscience and modular biology. And together, they are on a mission to help you conquer your emotions using science-backed techniques, which have been proven to have great results over the last 20 years. So let us reset our childhood. And really, look, I mean, it is when we react, we are really not reacting from an adult's mind. We're really reacting from that inner child, aren't we? And if that inner child is not being listened to, it's going to have a tantrum.
I can already tell this is going to be a great conversation because you get it already. Yes. How we're acting right now is because we're actually triggered from this chain reaction of how we were when we were two or whatever age. There was this original moment that created this space as a child to think, okay, that was hard, but I survived. And now I can utilize this way of how I survived moving forward, which is why so many of us act like two-year-olds. Yes.
And boy, do we see that, you know?
Yes.
Yeah. We have to understand that our inner child is constantly learning and constantly navigating, trying to find their place in the world. Am I worthy? Am I loved? Can I do it? You know, does anybody see me? Can anybody hear me? And if we don't listen to that inner child, then this inner child is constantly asking the question right into our adulthood.
Yes. It makes me think when you say that, Sarah, like, do you have children?
I have three.
You have three. Okay.
I have three grown children and I have 1.5 grandchildren.
Oh, okay. How old are the grandchildren?
20 ages? Months. And the other one's going to be born at the end of April.
Oh my gosh. Congratulations.
I know. I love being a grandma.
I bet you are an amazing grandma.
I'm a gobbledygook.
I love it. Oh, you are going to serve their childhood and adulthood well. I can already feel it, you know.
The wacky
it's
grandma.
So good. That's how it should be, right? Just to keep giving that permission to play and how good to remind us too, right?
Oh, that's the point. How they remind us. Yeah. To be, you know, that it's okay. There's got to be an adult and sensible. No, let your sillies out. Let your sillies out, right? Yeah.
I think that's where we kind of all went wrong.
Yeah.
Yes. It's awesome. But when you think about it, you know, especially, you know, and I speak to you, but I speak to all parents out there. Remember when your kids would want your attention and they'd be, maybe you were on the phone and they would be pulling at your shirt and they'd be going, mommy, mommy, mommy. And you're going, 1 second, 1 second, 1 second, because you're trying to focus on the adult. And then maybe you get distracted and you forget to turn to them and say, what was it that you wanted to say? I think that is like the metaphor for what happened to us. I think when we got stuffed, like our inner child got stuffed, that was this part that just kind of like planted a seed in our brain. Maybe it's some unhealed trauma, or emotions stored in our body. And it just wasn't given that attention. Like the boo-boo wasn't kissed and the little band-aid wasn't sealed over it. And sometimes we just have to go back and do that.
Yeah, and the ridiculous thing is it could be just one of those moments as simple as the band-aid or the kiss wasn't there, and that is it becomes the memory that they hold on to. And there could have been even bigger memories along the line, but that's the one. Do you remember the time when you didn't kiss my boo-boo? And it's like they've held on to it unconsciously, cellularly, in their body, in their mind. And then when things go wrong in their adulthood, they go back to being that person, but you didn't kiss my
Yes.
boo-boo.
I, speaking of kissing, I could literally kiss you right now. I could reach through Zoom and just give you a kiss because that's it. And every time I get interviewed, people always think that we're going to go in, we're going to talk about these big skeletons in the closet and these big, horrible things. No, it's really what you just said. It's like getting to that original moment where they really felt not loved, where their needs weren't met, misunderstood. And it's still the things that trigger us today. The most important things are oftentimes the little things.
I've
You
just
are a
written
gift.
I've just written my memoir, and in reading it back, and I realize, ooh, common thread here, because I just allowed myself to write, just let it pour out. And the common thread was this always this feeling of being somewhat neglected. I was a very sickly child, so I was in bed a lot, and I would get breakfast, lunch, and dinner. If I had an asthma attack, my mum was there. But other than that, I was hours and hours on my own. And so, I kind of went off dimensional traveling. I was one of these kids that played with dead people. And, I just didn't live here because here was too lonely. And I realized, and part of it is because of who I am here and what I'm meant to do in this world, I'm meant to do it alone. But the loneliness has been something that has run through me in my entire life, even when I'm in a crowd. And it's only through kind of, I knew it was there, but it's only when it came out in the writing and I read it back. And I realized, what that is, that inner child felt alone. I had brothers and sisters that were boarding school, mother and father that had their life. And I just felt, just this burden on them, because of this being the sickly child. And it wasn't the child's fault. And it really wasn't the parents' fault because the parents were doing what they were brought up to do. It's just the cycle of unawareness.
Oh my gosh, yes. And it's just, isn't it interesting how I heard you say, feeling this sense of loneliness and noticing that it was, I think you said, if I were to rewind this, I think it was something about it was like a burden to carry in what you notice now today. Like, is it something that you utilize to help others with? Is it the burden that you carry? Isn't that interesting how those biggest challenges become our biggest purpose?
Yes, but isn't that what a challenge is about?
Right?
It is for us to learn what is our courage, what is our strength, what is our resilience, what are we learning from it, how do we apply it to our lives, and how do we help other people going through the same thing? That's the reason why things happen to us.
Exactly. I swear it's the only thing that gets me going when things are really tough. I'm like, wait a minute, Christy. This is that moment. Like, this is where the rubber meets the road. This is the moment where you are in a serious growth phase and you're going to look back and you're going to so appreciate this moment. You may not right now, but it's like that reminder, right? And I love how you're writing a memoir and all of a sudden the awareness that comes from that.
Yes.
Should we all do that? I feel like that
Whether you
should be like
publish it
an
or not,
assignment.
I think everybody should write their life because I realize how much of my inner child was writing. Right? And it's, how much of the I wasn't seen and wasn't heard, and how this carried on through my adult life. That my presence, my essence was only seen by a few and not others or assumptions of me that were there. And that's where the lonely, you, I think being lonely in a crowd or lonely in a relationship is worse than being alone. Right? Lonely just doesn't mean you're alone, like you're living alone. I love being with myself now. I love being alone with myself. But it was that loneliness of being amongst people and feeling you didn't belong. What does a child want? They want to feel they belong. They're a part of, they're wanted.
Well, that just lands on. I just told you before we hit record, I was listening to some more of your podcasts, and the most recent one I listened to is the most recent one that was put out, and it was about inviting people, if you celebrate Thanksgiving, to bring, make sure people have a plate at your table.
Yes.
I mean, just to show that part of your purpose for you to be a voice and let people you don't even know hear it.
Family isn't just blood. You
No.
know, family is love. And you can have a huge extended family with love. And if you know somebody is alone, then how can you enjoy your Thanksgiving or any meal? And what a difference it makes in their life, and how many days it carries them forward, knowing that somebody cared enough to invite them or to say hello to them or do something nice for them.
Yes.
Right? It's such a simple thing, but we don't, because we've got so wrapped up in our own drama, you know, the drama of our trauma.
Yes. Yes. And the quickest way out of that is to go and help somebody else.
100% agree, because why are we feeling stuck in you know, or why are we feeling we don't belong? Because we haven't found our place. We haven't found our place, and we find our place when we're in service with others, of others.
I don't know if you follow Deborah Silverman, but she talks, oh, she's so good, hilarious and loving and all these things. And I love how she talks about this. We may all be different, and that's a good thing. But our souls signed up to be a human, to help one another, to be of service. That is like, doesn't matter what your interests are, what skills you're good at, all these things. Bottom line is we're here to help.
We are. And I actually had her on a few years ago, actually.
Did
She was a guest.
she read your chart?
I can't remember if we did chat, so we were just talking about it in general. It's quite some time ago. But yeah, she's a guest. She's wonderful. She's such a spirit.
Amazing. Yes.
But yeah, we did. When we came here, we signed this soul contract to have a human experience. We're not a human having a spiritual experience. We're a spirit having a human experience. When we understand that, we're driven by the spiritualness, the collectiveness, the universalness, and we travel that road in that energy, that we actually then understand the purpose of being a human.
Yes. And you know, she puts it into this perspective to kind of build off that. She talks about, she's like, you don't understand. Everyone who's here wants to be here. This is the quickest path to enlightenment for a soul. And don't exit stage right, even though you want to. Try not to, you know. And it's just this reminder is like, this is the quickest path to enlightenment. You did sign up for this. Like, find that purpose, go down that path. Try things out. Be the human. Experience the human experience. It has helped me look, you know, I have a lot of friends who are going through a lot of challenges right now, and some that they're not proud of. And this is the first time I've ever felt this lens of non-judgment to just say, you are experiencing the human experience. You are going to become a better version of this. And I don't know where the shift was. Maybe it is what I do professionally. It's the evolution around here, but it has become such a great place to just sit there and be and hold space and want whatever is best for them. And to know that whatever they're signed up for, I have no idea the true experience that's happening. So instead of making them feel even worse, just the space of being.
Just caring.
Because man, I'd want somebody to be like that for me too, you know?
Yeah.
I'm not perfect.
No, and the thing is, what is perfection? You can have perfect moments, but there is no such thing as perfection. Just perfect moments. And if we're seeking perfection all the time, we're missing out actually on the true joy of life. And you know, we've also got to look at as our evolution here on Earth, like, you know, kindergarten to graduation and to college and to higher education. And it's like, if we don't learn in this chapter of our life, we're going to come back and have to redo it until we have learned, because each chapter is here for us to evolve. And then the next one, evolve. This is not a punishment coming back. This is just learning again, taking those deja vu moments, those memories that you go, I don't know how I have this memory, but I do. It is a past life memory, and it's there to guide you. It's there. It's the wisdom that you carry within you that you can download anytime.
Yes, it is. And it's like, it's that moment. Like, I think even those little subtle signs of like getting goosebumps, they call it chicken skin here in
Yes.
Hawaii. It's like
I
that
have
sign
different
that
goosebumps.
I do too, right?
The fork of
I don't
chicken
know why I
cooked
like a
or
goose over
uncooked.
a chicken, but yeah, it's like that sign that like I think I saw something on social media recently and it was like that moment when you get the chills, it's that your soul is saying yes to you, right?
Yes.
It's like take advantage of the signs that your body is giving you. One of my friends said that's a truth bump. And I was like, oh, instead of a truth bomb, that's a truth bump. I like that. You know, so just yeah, there's it like you said, like you are carrying with you things that you said you were going to endure, whether you know it's from past lives or this life or whatever it is. Follow those signs and those little tiny subtle nuances. And I think sometimes we are so busy. I mean, just go to a grocery store right now for, you know, the US and getting ready for Thanksgiving. Everything is so chaotic and busy that we forget to just tune in. And it
Present.
makes me, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
We've been conditioned over the last few decades, especially, to be busy. More is more. Busy, busy. You've got to have more. You've got to strive more. You've got to suffer more. More, more, more. And no. Take a breath. It is about being present, and you can only be present with self when you stop, take a breath, become present. That's when the clarity can come. Putting your foot to the pedal, you want to go for the first, second, third to the fourth gear, not straight to the fourth gear. You're missing the point of those other gears. They're preparing you to handle the fourth gear. If you're going straight to that fourth gear, you're going to crash.
Yes. Yeah, you're going to crash. And it makes me think of all the people who are suffering from adrenal fatigue as a
Fellow
adrenal fatigue.
sufferer.
Yeah, fellow sufferer. And I used to hear that word and I used to think, oh, they're just making it up because I had energy for days and I was getting all these things done. But little did I know, you know, I grew up with hearing the word from like my small little town that I grew up in and just my friends, and they would say, sleep when you're dead. And it made me think that, oh, there is just opportunity is knocking. There's so much of life that you want to take advantage of, right? And oh my gosh, like I wish I could look back to that younger me and just sit down and have a talk with her and be like, this is not the way. What everyone else is doing, this is not the way. Slow down.
You just have
Soak
to look
up
at
little
society. You
moments.
soak up the moment. That's what the moment is about. I'm always saying to people, well, I don't know how. And I say, go into nature. Take a walk in the trees, especially when there's a breeze. The leaves are rustling. They're speaking to you, right? The wind in your hair is clearing things away. If you're near the ocean is washing the shores. You're watching a puppy dog with a stick. You're watching a child chasing the puppy dog. All of those things have your heart and your soul engaged. You are present. You are feeling what's around you right now. You are centered and you are being fed. Soak up that nectar and then take that into your next stage or phase or moment of life. But this whole thing about hurry up, it's about the destination. No, it's about the journey. And it's unfortunate that we have to get to my age or somewhat near my age, 68, to realize that the simple things and the slower things, like being the tortoise, not the hare, is actually more valuable because the tortoise, A, is carrying a heavy shell of wisdom and knowledge and experiences, so it makes it heavier to get there. But the other thing is the tortoise is taking its time. It's resting when it needs to rest. It's absorbing its surroundings. It's gathering the strength for the next chapter. And look what happened to the hare. It petered out before the end of the line, right? So it's a great metaphor, the tortoise and the hare.
You know, I have to tell you, I normally think, okay, whatever we have this conversation about, like it's there for the listener, whatever it is. But I have to tell you, you just gave me truth bumps, because that's exactly what I needed to hear. Number one, it's been a very calm day here on Oahu. Well, on our side of the island, which is like the windward side, very, very calm. Normally we have a lot of wind and we've had none. And just as you started talking about the rustling of the leaves, I just heard the palms just like give this huge shake. And I thought, ooh, listen up. And then when you
It's
started
giving a
talking
thumbs
about,
up.
it's a thumbs up. It's like two thumbs up. But when you started talking about the tortoise, Deborah Silverman recently did a reading for me and she said, you need to become a turtle. And of course, I was like, I don't know how to become a turtle. And you just finished up her guidance to me, and that's exactly what I need. And I to think about the heavy shell as a heavy shell of wisdom. That's it. And that's where you are able to really look back and have this moment. If you slow down, if you do have a moment to just clear your brain and let truth come in and
Yes.
intuition, that's the wisdom. That's the opportunity to put all the things together you have been learning to write your memoir and all of a sudden see right in front of you this page of awareness that maybe you missed before. I officially love turtles now. Thank you so much.
When you look at things from a different perspective, you see more value. But you know, the whole thing about wisdom isn't to hoard it, it's to share it. And if you're so busy rushing to the finish line, whom are you sharing it with? You know, I have a course. I'm a True Colors coach, but I also have another course I've been doing for 42 years called The View of Life. Yes, my show is my personal show is called that, but it is a view of life, and it takes people through a metaphorical journey, and it's really about awareness. And there's so many things that we're not paying attention to, simple things that have profound meanings that are there for us. You know, the universe is saying, "I'm going to give her this. She now needs that." Oh my, oh boy, she's not listening. Here comes the cosmic 2x4. Whackaroo, have I got your attention? I gave you all the signs, you right? We don't pay attention to the signs because we've gone blind with what we're looking for. And we're looking for the exterior validation, the exterior life that's going to make us happy instead of the interior life. Because when we live in the interior life, we're at one with self and our inner child. When we're at one and we're traveling in that wonderment together, we pay attention to all the little things out there.
Yes. How many little things are we missing?
Yes. Glorious little
Yeah,
things that
right?
make your day, that bring your heart up, that make you smile, that just give you a reason to live. Why do we
Yeah.
have so much anxiety and depression? Because people aren't paying attention.
Right? I don't want the 2x4. I do not want that across my head.
No,
And
it
it may,
hurts, believe me.
right? Yeah, we've had all those. And listen, I don't know. I have no idea what happens when our time is expired here, but I always envision this like afterlife experience where you either want get to or you have to watch the movie of your life. Right? And I just always imagine sitting in this movie theater and watching all the things that had happened. And it makes me think of like, what little things am I completely ignoring that are really the ones that are what I truly need? So that's been trying to, I have been on a journey of slowing down. So I'm trying to
Yes.
find the ways that are those reminders, but I want to get to watch my life unfold. I don't want to feel like I have to watch it.
Right. You want to be a part of your life,
Yeah.
right? Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know, the whole thing about your re-reset, you know, is we have many chapters in our book of life. And if this particular chapter is so chaotic and you go, "No, what? I can't rewrite it. It's already written, but I can end this chapter and reset my mindset for the next chapter to be clearer."
Yeah. It's like this idea of making peace with your past.
Yes.
It's yeah, and in fact, it's I love how you call it a re-reset. It's actually rest, but you are not the first person who has said that. And I think this is how, like, because that's exactly what it is. It's a reset. And I love how the brain is making everyone read it that way. And it, because honestly, everyone calls it R, if they see it the other way, they say it's RR rest. And then it makes it sound like they're being a pirate.
Arrested, arrested.
Yeah, rested. And so it is spelled rest with two R's, RREST. And it's very sciencey. I have two, so I'm one of three co-founders, and it's two of them are their PhDs, they're scientists, and I'm the non. And it stands for Rapid Reprogramming of Emotional Stress Technique. And basically, it's a lot of neuroscience and a little bit of magic that allows us to say, what is at the core? What is stressing you out today? And it could be something small. It could be something large. You pick when we get on, Zoom together. And we talk about it for just maybe 10 minutes. And then what we say is, let's look back into the archives. Let's go back in time and find out what was it that happened to you? Where was that moment that was stressful for you? Like the little t trauma, like you talked about, the little things, not getting, the kiss, not getting the I love you before bed, right? Most of the time it's that. And then we're able to look at it from a different perspective, from our adult perspective, to understand maybe it was you didn't get tucked in at night and mom was super busy and you had to put yourself to bed on your own and you were pretty young. And maybe that made you feel alone, or maybe it was like you said, you were a sickly child and you had to spend a lot of time alone. Like, could have been one of those moments. You may not remember exactly what it was. Most people don't. They're called implicit memories, right? It's all tucked in your subconscious. Your subconscious, your body remembers because your conscious brain has way too many things, way too many notifications for it to focus on now, right? Yes. So we've got like a little backup and it's all there and it's trying to serve us well. But the reality is we can do better. So yeah, we look back in time and say, what happened? We get this black and white picture of what happened, how you might have responded, and the people who are surrounding you, how they may have played a role. And then to look at and say, gosh, mom probably was really overwhelmed. Instead of feeling like mom didn't love us, the answer really is she was really stressed, and having compassion for her in that moment too. So it's like we do get to put that band-aid right on the boo-boo and kiss it for good and make sure that it is healing properly. And it's just amazing how much better you feel after just, it's a 50 to 60 minute session. It's a breath of fresh air. I remember the first session I ever had, and I felt like a huge coat of armor was taken off of me. I was curious. Like when I think of heavy shells with a turtle, I was originally thinking of a heavy wound instead of heavy wisdom, right? But for me, a large heavy wound was removed. And I just remember I had this, I felt so good. I wanted to jump up and down and then reach through Zoom and grab Dr. Cindy, my co-founder, and just say, you cannot be the only person who knows how to do this. Like, let me into your world. What do I need to do? Do I need to go back and become a scientist? What do I need to do here? But yeah, it is. The simplicity is rest is spelled with two R's. We do believe in sleep. We believe in rest. But we also believe that if you had a childhood, it might be worthy of giving yourself some time to work with a coach to help you find out what are you stressed over and what happened to you? And then just like, let's heal it and move forward.
Rest to reset.
Rest to reset. Oh, I love that. I almost have to write that down, but I'll watch this again later. Yeah.
Resting is the pause, is the alignment with self. When we're constantly stressing ourselves out by being foot to the pedal, by chasing some illusion, living up to society's expectation, carrying this, memory that has blown out of proportion, right? What we're doing is weighing ourselves down. And the heavier we get, the harder it is to move forward. Instead of looking at it as a burden and punishment and why am I feeling this way? Maybe look at it as the universe is telling you to, for God's sake, stop, rest, clear out all this stuff that you're carrying with you, reset, and move forward.
Yes, that's it. And like that's as soon as people are done having a session, the first thing we say is your homework assignment tonight is to get good sleep. Slow down. No blue light before bed. No caffeine. Like just treat yourself. Have a bath. Read a book that is like good for your brain that takes you out of like all the professional dues. Just do something for enjoyment's sake. Have a nice chamomile tea. Just
A little
give
lavender on
yourself
your pillow.
permission. Oh yeah, now you're talking. Yeah, sign me up.
A snuggle wuggle with your puppy dogs or your pussy cats or your
Oh
kids or your
yes.
grandkids or whatever the case is. It's a you know what warms your heart. Now, here I am, folks, 68-year woman, and I sleep with a teddy bear. Right? I like that teddy bear right here by my bosom, something to hold on to, something to love while I sleep, right? And yeah, I'm owning up to it, and it really makes me feel comforted at night. And why shouldn't it?
Absolutely. I think you need to set a new trend. Like, I don't know, do we need to get people to do selfies with their teddy bears or something? Because like you hear it now, people, Sarah Troy is leading the way. Like, embrace that inner child. I mean, you are just a kid at heart. I can just feel your playful energy in this. I'm loving it, and I think it's brilliant.
I think a lot for me was I didn't have such a playful childhood because I was alone a lot, even in my play, sick a lot. And I think my playfulness kind of came out more in the adulthood. And when I had children, I played with them. My punishment to my kids was me singing opera. Anything to shut me up, we put on Queen, We Are the Champions, we all sing and dance to it, or they put on movies for me or plays for me, we sing in the car at the top of our voice, and it didn't matter if the voice was good or not. And I know that because I went for a very tumultuous marriage, because I married somebody with a very injured child. And I was this injured child, and we had two injured children. I'm trying to fix him, and he's resenting being fixed, So it was a really bad marriage, and it was actually the permission of my children to say it's time for divorce. And this is the thing about our kids, they're so observant, they're so in tuned that when a child comes up to you and makes an observation, please do not put them in their in your place or their place. Listen to them because they're seeing things you're unable to see. Hear them, and especially if they're your children, they have every right to speak that observation or what's having an effect on them.
Oh my gosh, that just brings a whole nother level of that saying of how they are the greatest teachers.
Oh boy, are they? Are they
Humbling
good and
sometimes.
bad, bringing the worst out in you and the best out in you? Yes, I've got gray hairs for a reason.
Earned them.
I earned
It's
them, I did.
sparkle. I have a friend in Canada. She's actually one of our rest coaches, and she says, "Own your sparkle." She's actually written an entire book on it. So I'm owning my sparkles that are coming in right now.
Well, there's the they're earned there, and that's the thing is, I really don't care what struggles you've gone through. And believe me, I've interviewed some people who have gone through some struggles that no human being had the right to hurt that person in the way that they did. But they made a choice. They made a choice to go through the process of healing, discover the courage, discover their strength, discover their abilities, discover their re resilience, and come out the other end being incredibly awesome people who are now giving back and helping others that are struggling, because those that have gone through it are the best teachers. And that to me is truly the mark of living, when you're willing to go through the pain to understand what the pain is here for and how to help others in pain.
The mark of living. That's beautiful. When you think about the human aspects, one of the things, the mark of living for me is when we formed rest. Dr. Cindy was she's a neuroscientist, and she created rest. And then when we together, the three co-founders got together, I looked at these two powerful women. Just they've known each other since college. They studied together. There's the most brilliant scientists I've ever known. And I thought, who am I? Like, I have an undergrad degree in film, like I had this really
Perfect.
hard time, right?
You were the
Thinking,
missing
who do I
link.
serve? And I think that one of my friends said to me, she said, "Christy, you need to stop thinking about who are you to be with this." She says, "And if you feel like you need to have letters at the end of your name to be in alignment with these women, put the word or the letters LE, life experience, at the end."
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly. And the thing is, what let's look, when you've got these people full of brilliant science, they're not generally the people to market themselves. They need someone like you, who is that spokesperson that brings that brilliance out into the world, because that's not their forte. If you've listened to my shows, you know that I generally, virtually every show, talk about we are all in discovery of what our instrument is. Learn how to play it, then look for the orchestra in which to join, because that orchestra is full of individual strength that know how to harmonize together. The triangle is just as important as the soloist, because when they come together, they create a harmony, right? So this thing, and believe me, I've been through that. I have PhDs galore in life experience, but I've got no letters at the end of my name because I exempted myself from school at 16 and I only got a grade 7 education. I'm missing so much of school. It was life education. And if they handed out
Wow.
degrees on that, I've got a few of them.
Yes,
Right?
valedictorian,
Yeah.
maybe.
The whole point is we get stuck on these titles and this importance. Now, if you are a brain surgeon, I want to know you're qualified, right? So we want to know
100%.
that people have studied enough to be qualified to represent what they're representing. But this all importance that you've got to have these initials to be important, codswallop. No.
Yep.
Everybody, the triangleist, the drummer, it doesn't matter who you are, everybody is a part of that orchestra and just as important role to play, whether it be big or small, like the
Yeah.
janitor in a business. If the janitor doesn't make it clean and somebody walks into a dirty place, it changes their perception of that business over completely. So titles are not something I buy into.
Nope.
Character and intent and heart behind it, that's what I look for.
Oh, I love that. Yes. That's it. Yes, I'm completely with you on that. I'm so glad that I've been able to crumple up that belief and just throw that
Yes,
away,
it's
you
not
know?
important. It's
And it's
the
not.
gift you have to them is the vision to take what they're doing out into the world, right?
Yeah, they are brilliant minds and what they've created. And it's like, I would be talking about this anyways, whether I was a
Yeah.
co-founder or not. I might
Right.
as well just sing their praises. They've changed my life.
Exactly. And the benefit, you know, I don't think anybody in any business is good at business unless it comes from the heart,
Yes.
right? When the heart's engaged, when you just have to share this, you know, to hell with the money will come. But when you have to share this, because it's so important, that's when the heart is in it. And when the heart shares, everybody else cares.
Yes. It's like
That's
the
where the
thing where you're
PhD
like, I
is.
can't go to bed. Yes,
Yeah.
that is. Yeah. I can't sleep at night. I didn't talk about this. I didn't share.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's
Yeah.
yeah.
And that's, you know, everybody has a role to play, and it's just knowing what your role is. And you know, even the village idiot has a role to play. Everybody does. And I think it's this, there's two words I hate in the contents of humans is compare and compete. And I think when you compare, you're always going to let yourself down. And when you compete with others, you're denying who you are. Right? So drop
Yes.
those. And perfection, as I said, perfect moments. But if you're trying to be perfect, you will never be perfect in everyone's eyes because everybody wants something different from you. Just embrace the beautiful essence of who you are. Come from your heart, from your soul, from your spirit, with your beautiful gift and share it out there. And believe me, it's enough.
It is. It really is too. Really kind of fall in love with who you are. And I
Yes.
know that's for a lot of people, that's cringy and maybe they're not there yet, but
Yeah.
like, this is who you're, and they talk about a marriage. You are with your soul. You are with your personality
Yeah.
from
You
here on
can't outrun
out.
yourself.
You
You can
cannot.
try, but you can't. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So sooner than later, it's
Yeah.
important that you really do. I was at a woman's womb healing ceremony just this past week, and a girl said, maybe if you just dated yourself, whether you're married, whether you're looking for a partner, what would you do to spend time with you? And I thought, oh, how brilliant. Like we schedule in these times in our calendars for our partners, hopefully a date night once a week or something. But what are you doing for you? What are you doing to date you and understand you?
I
And I just
literally
love
did
that
date
perspective.
myself.
Tell me
I
more.
used to get dressed up and I'd go to a 5-star restaurant and I'd treat myself and it would be, you know, people would look at me, you know, she there to pick people up and it'd be, no, you know, I track to the next table or this or that, an observer. I love watching people, always a great study of people, but it's like, why should I wait for someone to take me?
That's
I can
right.
take myself out. I live with a wonderful 89-year-old, but her palate is very different. And Denny's and White Spot and, just the limitation, or Timmy's. And so if I want something with a bigger palate, and I love Asian food, I've got to go and take myself. So, I have no qualms with dining alone, none whatsoever. It is, I'm there to observe. I'm there to enjoy the food. Why should I deny myself that wonderful experience just because I'm on my own?
100%. Do you remember the first time you did that?
I don't know, 15, 16, somewhere around there. We moved to South Africa from England when I was 14. And then during that time, my mother really discovered herself, and like chalk and cheese from the life that she had in England. And so she was out discovering herself, and I was just out there kind of navigating through life. And so I was South Africa's first go-go dancer before it became CD. I introduced my brother to a person who bought over turntables from England. They started the first mobile discotheque. Then at 16, I met my boyfriend. We had a discotheque and we played at parties and things like this, which was wonderful. And I was the go-go dancer, which was a novelty at the time, plus the turntable DJ, right? Back in the
How
day,
fun.
records, vinyl. And it was a wonderful experience. But I can remember even 15, 16, me going off to eat on my own. It's just, I don't mind being alone when it's my choice to be alone. But I didn't like being alone in a crowd when no one saw you.
Yes. And how does it feel to you when you do take yourself out, when you treat yourself? What happens in your body when you leave and you've come home and you've had such a nice night with yourself? What does that feel like?
I mean, obviously, it would be wonderful to have somebody good to converse with, right, and share with. But it's like, that was a good meal. I really enjoyed that, and I've enjoyed seeing the people around me. And it's like, good on you for treating yourself, Sarah.
Yes.
You don't do it
Yeah,
enough.
that's right. Yes, to have that that win, that feeling of good on you. That I think that's so good. I remember the first time I took myself to a movie. I was probably in my early 20s and it was a rainy day here in Hawaii and I didn't have anyone to go with and I was also feeling lonely. My husband is in the military back then. He was my boyfriend and we had spent 15 months apart from one another with him being deployed. And I was just having a really bad day. And I thought, I'm going to go to the movies and I'm going to take myself to lunch. And I remember this nervous feeling driving to take myself and thinking, what are people going to think because I'm all by myself? Who cares what other people think? But at the time, that
Exactly.
was a real fear, right? And I remember feeling so empowered being at the table by myself, being at the movie by myself, and just feeling this sense of pride and connectedness to myself after just doing something so simple, but doing something that was outside of my comfort zone. And now I don't think anything of it. It's just so normal to me. But I'll never forget that first day when I did that, and just seeing how important it is to truly spend time with yourself.
Especially for people who have husbands or spouses in service. I've done a number of shows of that. I've got a genre, Our Global Veterans,
Oh, wow.
and I've done shows with the wives of the veterans and the lives that they lead, constantly moving around, and them being away and them having to be the whole boss of the household, and then the guys coming back trying to take the reins. My territory, and the whole navigation of the person coming home and how different they are, and because they can't go and do what they do without coming back differently. But the whole thing is, you can't serve anyone in life until you serve yourself. You can't love anyone truly, honestly in life until you know the love of self. You can't be that wisdom for anyone else if you haven't gained that wisdom from life experience. It's the more you immerse yourself in life, good or bad, roller coaster highs or lows, the more you learn from it. And you always go back to that space of your own heart, your own love, your own compass. The more it's going to guide you forward in life through whatever you have to go through.
Yes. My gosh, I feel like that's a mic drop moment right there. You should use that for social media.
It's probably pretty much my kind of
Wonderful.
teachings all the time, but it, you know, took me a long time. I spent way too many years trying to be what I thought other people wanted me to be. Now, they would fall in love with me for the abilities that I had. And then either try to contain it, and you can't contain someone's spirit. It's always meant to be free and shared. And then control me, which then literally kind of cuts the wings off you. And from that, you know, me trying to break out of those imprisons, those jails. And yet I would go back into another relationship the same way, because it was always me trying to see the possibilities in people and bring it out in them. And then they resent you for bringing it out in them, or they're embarrassed that you brought it out in them. Why didn't I do that by myself? And they want to control you. And I was repeating that pattern all the time until I realized is that I was placing too much love and honor on everyone else and not on myself. And when I learned to put that love and value upon myself, it changed the dynamics of my life and relationships completely.
Wow. When
Important,
you think,
folks.
very important, when you think about that, especially for someone listening right now to that, like, what do you think are the first steps to doing that? Like, what would you say to someone if they were having a hard time with that?
Other people's opinions are none of your concern. And that's a hard one to hear. But they're going to see you through the eyes from their inner child or their turmoil. And you've got to see yourself through yourself. And I really do believe in mirror talk. Talk to yourself in the mirror. It's very hard to lie to yourself in the mirror when you're eyeball to eyeball, right? And it's like you are worthy. And the only person that can place that worth on you, that value on you, that love for you is you. And the more you do, the more you exude that love and resonance out to other people, the more they're going to love you in that frequency and that vibration. But in, my mum told me the value you put on yourself is the value people take you for. And I really misunderstood that for most of my life until I placed value upon who I am. I am enough. I'm quirky, I'm odd. I'm weird. I do things differently. I don't present as the norm. That's okay. I'm Sarah.
That's what I love about you.
But it took a while to get there, and I want everyone to get there faster than me, not waste so many years, right? And that you are a beautiful instrument. Just learn how to use your instrument. Those that listen to it, you have no dictation or control of how they receive your music. They're going to receive it in the light that they're in, right? And don't let other people's opinion of you define you, because they're defining you from a space of where they're at. And if they're in pain, they want to inflict the pain or find the pain. They don't, they're not ready for the love because they're not on that journey yet.
That's it. It's, and I know it's hard when people, don't see you. I think one of the struggles that I had for a lot of my life is being misunderstood and feeling like, oh, they don't know my heart. But that's not my problem. It's, it's if I can keep being true to me and knowing I'm doing that, then I have to just trust that their journey is their journey and mine is mine. Easier
Everybody's
said
at
than
different,
done.
it is, but we've also got to understand, right? Let's look at the orchestra. There are, you know, the trombones will come out at this particular frequency, and, you know, the drums will be blah, 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 over here, and then you've got the violinists over here. Each one of them are at different levels to reach that crescendo of being in the same vibe. So you have to be true to who you are and your own vibration, your own frequency, and those that are rising up that feel your frequency, feel that vibration, will want to know you, will hear you, will see you for who you are. For those that aren't yet there, you might be something that they're inspired to be, or they're just not ready. They haven't got reached that level yet. And that's okay. It's okay.
It's like the best form of like selection ever.
Yeah.
You select these people that want to be a part of your life and these people that just aren't ready. It's not
Yeah.
their thing. And that makes it a lot easier.
Yeah, because what you're doing is you're letting go of this expectation. Right? Oh, I've got to please everybody. Why? There is no one size that fits all. There isn't. I'm sorry. I
There
don't care how
isn't.
much spandex is out there. There is not one size that fits all. Okay? You are unique in who you are. Embrace your uniqueness, your quirkiness, what makes you different, the crack in your diamond. That's what makes you different. Just be you. And when you're you from a space of heart and love for who you are, why you are, and what you're doing, that is what people want to be around. And the moment if they
And
try to control or change you, change channels.
it's so much more easeful
It
when you
is.
are like that. I know it seems from the other side that it's not, but you know what's so much work and heavy is
Oh.
being something for everyone else. It is
What a
truly
waste of time.
exhausting. It is such a waste of time.
And it does. You said it takes so much energy. And when you're in this space, you're on a beautiful flow, like the wind, like the breeze, like the music, like the frequency, like our DNA. It's always in a beautiful twist and flow. And when we're in flow, right?
Yes,
We're in
that's a
truth.
beautiful analogy. I love that. Like our DNA.
Yeah. Is our DNA
Yes.
straight line? No. Is it straight up?
No, ma'am.
You know, a lot of people talk about height, height, height. You got to rise higher. And I go, how about we ride, go around? I
Yeah.
prefer that in our frequency and our vibration, hands around the world with each other, and a rise up together. Because anybody who tries to reach, it's like I love watching singing shows. And you've got somebody who has the belting voice, and they come out with the full belt. And then the coach says, you know, we know you can do that. But don't do that for the song, the
Yeah.
whole song. Softly bring it up. Treat us with it. Don't just dominate us with it. And I think if we learn to hold hands with people along the way, and each of us in that loving frequency just rise up, rise up, rise up, we'll reach these beautiful crescendos that are absolutely illuminating, but we'll do it together.
Beautiful. Are you talking about the voice? By any chance, doesn't
Yes.
it just give you the warm and fuzzies when they turn around? And yes, I love
Yes,
it. I'm also a
I
big
watch all of
fan.
those. America's Got, in fact, actually, I had somebody on from America's Got Talent. I don't know if you ever watched it, but a young girl called Keshi, and she'd been a burn victim from
Oh,
over, yep. And I've had her on 3 times, and she's just every time she leaves me with a nugget of something, you know, that is just so illuminating. And then I had her on with another burn victim who was a veteran who had been blown up in his Humvee. And his skull had burnt right down, and he lost part of his arm. He became a comedian to survive what he's going through, and of course for her singing. And what I loved is when she got up there, everybody looked at clearly scars,
yeah.
right? And then she opened up her voice, and just the pure essence of who she was from the inside out transformed her beauty completely. And she's a beautiful person, a beautiful soul. But those that listened to the show of the two of them together said they cried, not because they felt sorry for them, but because they were so inspired by who they are and what they have. You know, if there's something she said to me, and I want people to really take this in. The only trouble is the itching. I itch all the time. Now, you know what, you know, you have an itch, it drives you crazy. Now
Yeah.
imagine your whole body itching all the time. That's what she's got to live with. But she chooses to rise up from that and give us a song of love.
Wow, what an inspiration.
And
People
there are
are
so many.
truly amazing.
We are incredible species
Right?
if we choose to be.
Incredible.
If we
Yes.
choose to be. If we
Yeah.
get out of our trauma, our drama, our feeling alone or not worthy, or we don't fit in, which is again back to that inner child. If we turn
All
around
goes
to our
back.
inner child and say, I love you, you silly Billy, I
Yes.
love you. I'm going to listen to you. What do you have to say? Right?
Yes, absolutely. Are you familiar with Ho'oponopono by any chance?
Yeah, I'm familiar, but don't know too much about.
Can I share a little bit?
Please.
Okay, good. It makes me think, it's often times what I do after a rest session, and I think that, well, whenever we do rest sessions, everything's one-on-one. You don't know what to expect. But I always try to bring in the forgiveness of the inner child. But first, I think it helps to understand what Ho'oponopono is and the absolute power and simplicity of what it is. So it's a Hawaiian healing blessing, And it was, I cannot remember who, like how far it goes back or who started it, but I do know there was this gentleman who was a psychologist here on the island that I live on, Oahu, and his name was Dr. E. Haleakala Hulen. And he was brought over to a mental ward, and this ward had, it housed people that had done horrible things, Sarah, like murder, rape, the whole thing, right? They weren't mentally well enough to be in a regular prison, so they had them in a mental ward. And you can just, when we talk about an energy, you can just imagine what the energy would be like with all the things that these people have done. On top of that is they're in Hawaii without windows. You can't see out. You can't feel the gentle trade winds on your skin. You can't hear the rustling of the palms like I just heard when you were talking about the breeze. And
No
on top
light.
of that, they just felt like they were shackled too.
Yes.
So whenever they, were walking down the hallways, they would have to have two staff members on each side and take them down the center of the hallway, not near the walls, because these prisoners would check them into the walls. And they said that the energy was so bad that they would keep painting these walls, but the paint would constantly peel off. They could never keep it on. The energy was so bad that the paint didn't
Yes,
even want to be there.
right.
Plants
Yeah.
weren't
Let me
growing.
out.
Get me out of here. And then the hospital staff, they were just rotating revolving doors because they couldn't keep anyone, especially to work with these inmates. So when this Ihaleakala Hulen arrived, he was different. Number one, he didn't spend a lot of time there. Number two, he said, I will work there. I request my own office, but I never want to like work specifically with the inmates. And they were like, okay, weird, but we got to try something. So what he would do is he'd get a list of, the inmates, what they did, all the horrible things they did, who they were, their date of birth and all that. And he would look at it and he would say, what in me caused you to do what you did? And when I first learned about this, my ego was like, hold up, he doesn't even know how these people, like, how could he even be responsible for these wrongdoings? But it goes back to this space when you talked about us holding hands around the world. We are all connected, whether
Yes.
hands are connected or not, we are.
Heart to
And
soul.
he looked at that as like, I need to clear myself. So he used Ho'oponopono, which is four simple phrases, and it doesn't matter what order, just say them as, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. You can say it out loud. You can say it inside your head, whatever it is. But if you were to think of someone who maybe did a wrongdoing on you, you could say that over and over and watch what happens. Well, what happened for him was he stayed there for about 4 to 5 years. And the hospital staff, instead of shackling the prisoners, were now out on the tennis courts playing tennis with them. Plants were growing. That people wanted to be there. All their vacation leave wasn't being taken up, and the paint was sticking to the walls.
Yes.
And the mental ward no longer exists. It's gone.
It's
So
all a
to
question of positive energy. When you change the frequency, you change the energy, you're changing the chemical structure of the mind and of the body.
Right?
We are 98 point something water. You've heard of the Emoto water demonstration, right? The three, for
Yes.
people who may not have heard, three glasses of water, one ignored, one given negativity, one given positivity. The ignored one stayed the same. The negative one literally turned black, and the positive one turned into beautiful crystals of energy, right? If we're 98% water in our body and we're feeding that negativity all the time, and it's turning black, it doesn't feed our organs, it doesn't feed our brain, it doesn't feed our psyche, it is breaking us down. If we feed it with love and positivity, and we start changing those water structures with love and energy, love and energy, loving energy, loving energy, we're changing those waters over. It starts feeding the organs, feeding the brain, feeding the psyche, and feeding the possibilities.
Totally feeding the possibilities. And when you think about it, like it makes me think back to Dr. E. Haleakala Hulen, because he gave people promise. Like I said, he never like met with any inmates in his office, but walking through the hallways, he would run into them. And there was this one man who looked at him and he said, with glaring eyes and a growling voice, he's like, I bet I could kill you. And E. Haleakala Hulen said to him, I bet you would do a good job too. To even just respond back with love and belief to such a hateful thing,
Yes.
to all of a sudden just have one person believe in you, even how negative that was. I mean,
Yeah.
most people, that if someone said that to most people, given that response that you lended, wouldn't happen. But it just goes to show that positivity. I mean, that to me is that third dish of water, the
Yes.
positivity,
Yes.
and
Yep.
what that shift is to just have someone be kind to you. It makes a big difference.
You know, that word kindness gets thrown around all the time, but kindness and caring go hand in hand, and they both equal love. When you are in caring, when you're in kindness, you can't help but be loving.
You can't help it.
But it starts with you've got to care,
You've
and
got
you've got
to.
to show the kindness. That kindness is compassion. It is understanding. It is non-judgmental. It is not persecutory. It is inviting people to see the love. But you've got to care to be kind. And you put kindness and caring together, that is that loving vibration, and that heals everything.
Truly does. Yeah.
How does your program work for people?
Yeah, if they, find that there's something that they're stressing over, whether it be little or small, it's worth working with one of our coaches. And if they want to work with one of our coaches, they can just go to rest.com, REST.com, and click on find a coach, and then they can work with someone. But how it works is you can be anywhere in the world as long as you have a good Wi-Fi signal. Because we
Exactly.
work on Zoom, just like you and I are on
Yeah.
right now. Sarah is,
Which is an
we work
energy
on
all of
Zoom.
its own.
Right? It is. It
Yes.
totally is. And my goodness, it's really allowed people to truly connect and I think be in a safe space, right? Because originally Dr. Cindy created this and she had her own office and people were flying hundreds of miles to get in to see her. So to be able for her to show that you could pivot to make it online made a huge difference, especially because I think when you can be in your own comfortable, safe space, that even allows you to be more willing to work on whatever it is that
To
you're
open
ready to
up.
work on,
Yeah.
to completely open up. So yeah, we spend about, like, the way it kind of breaks down, it's about an hour long, 50 to 60 minutes. And the first 10 minutes, maybe 10 to 15, we talk about what's bothering you currently. And then we are able to trace back and say, okay, let's find that original root. Where was this original moment in time that happened to you? It could have been, usually it's before age 5. Sometimes it's a little bit later than that, but it's definitely in your childhood. Sometimes it could even be during the birth process in
Yes.
the womb, and it could even be past generation, something that you're carrying from a family member, from a family member, from a family member. It's all, epigenetics and passed on. Sometimes it could be past life. Most of the
Yes.
time it's within your childhood. And we just find out what is it that happened to you. We're kind of stress chasers. So really we're chasing these emotions that are connected to this original event. You do some breath work and a little bit of, some other things that we have you do. And it's just amazing how quickly you can release. And at the end of the session, you typically have this more enlightened look at a different perspective of what had happened. And it's almost like we have this thing called rest amnesia. You almost forget what you were stressed about,
Yes.
especially when we have clients come back. We do recommend, start with, you can do one session if you want, but really we recommend 5 to 10 sessions to begin with because there's just so much, whether you had a good childhood or a bad one, there's so many things that we
Yes.
carried with us. And I look at it as the same way as like how valuable it is to have a personal trainer, someone to make me do things that I don't necessarily
Yeah.
want to do. It's an investment in making sure that you are really able to master your emotions, to really be in this space of mental clarity. So when the stress comes up again, which it will, it's almost like this moment of clarity, this moment where you're like, wait a minute. Okay, I know I typically respond this way, but now I have the mental clarity to go in a different direction,
Yes.
to not freak out, to be more stabilized. I mean, it's truly incredible. And I never know what's going to happen coming into a client. I know that they're going to talk about something and we may go deeper. It may be exactly what they're working on, but I never know where we're going to go back in time with. But what I always notice is how much better they feel after. And it's ongoing,
Yes,
it's
it's something
moving
that a
forward.
skill that they learn to have. And when we look at modern medicine is wonderful, it's great, we can't live without it, but it's still the band-aid mentality. It's not
Mm-hmm.
getting to the root cause of the problem. And all emotional problems are a root cause. They are a memory that caused the trauma that unstabled us. And it became something that became part of our fear pattern, our insecure pattern. And very often people just don't know. I don't know why I feel like this. I think I had a good childhood. I think this, I don't know where this came from. Many a time, it can be literally the drama or the trauma of your family that is being passed on, or past life. In my case, it was past life and family. But it is when you realize it's not you. I'm giving a little case with my daughter. She, defiant little thing in the day, can take anything on. At night, could not sleep on her own. And so I took her to a past life regressionist. I think she was about 4 or 5 at the time. And we found out that she'd been abandoned in the dark at least 3 times. So
Oh.
when she came out, I mean, I said to her, you know, did you see the little girls? Yes. And I said, but you know, that's not you. Yeah. Like, you're safe here with mama. You're safe. Nobody's going to abandon you. You're safe. Started sleeping with the light on, but on her own. And not long after that, in the dark, without any problem whatsoever. And she now actually works with people with mental health problems who had brain traumas, right? So she's
Wow.
the one that's expecting another baby. So, but it was just that release from something that wasn't hers. Now, you know,
Yes.
when we realize, you know, why the hell did I let that bother me so much? You know, moss gathers as it rolls down the mountain, and things grow so out of proportion that we don't even know. I don't understand why I feel like this. I just know I'm mad. I don't know what I'm mad at. And having somebody that can take you into that state of restfulness, of calmness, of beingness, that deep breath, that presence, that it will come to the surface. And
Yes.
it doesn't have to make sense. All it is to understand that was the root of the problem. Oh,
Exactly. Yes, especially when we realize so much of it is really from small stuff. Like you said,
can
when moss starts to roll down, it was
go.
back when the moss started to roll or when the moss started to grow. It's not the big stuff. And to just realize, wow, that was it. Wow. You know, maybe it's, you know, for one of my clients, it was that she put her shoes on the opposite feet, and she didn't get praise from her father for putting her shoes on herself. He just quickly was like, no, those are on the wrong feet. And, you know, so that little moment in time had this huge reason why she was stressed out. And it's like that once she realized that, she's like, oh my gosh, I'm so ready to move on now.
And you know, the thing is she probably blamed her father. Why did he do that? And like, for him, he didn't see it from that point of view. You know, it was
No.
just, oh, your shoes are on the wrong feet. You know, and she took it as an affront. And
Yes.
she might not have 10 minutes earlier or 10 minutes later. It's just what state of mind are we in that moment that this has become such a trauma?
Exactly. And we've all had those stage of moments when things have been horrible and just been like, why did I freak out for that reason? That, yeah.
You know, I have to say, you know, guilt. I've been watching The Bachelorette and The Bachelor in Paradise because for
Yes.
me, you know, that it's always a case study of people, and just
It's one of the
watching how
best ones.
some people volatile go off, you know, and other people so immersed in something but they're unwilling to talk about other things. And it's like, you know, it's I can see your insecurity screaming there. I can see your unwillingness to deal with thing, and you're hiding it with either narcissism or denial, you know, and you could see it all in front of you, but they don't see it. And it's, you know, kind of less about couples coming together and more of a big, huge therapy session of self-discovery.
Right? Yes.
And
Yeah,
discovery for other
absolutely.
people too. Gosh, do I behave like that? So,
Yeah, it is good. Sometimes you need a model where you're like, oh, okay, I'm seeing that in myself now, that whole mirror.
And you know, again, don't punish or persecute yourself. You are a byproduct of the environment. It just means change your environment, change your mindset, look at what the root cause is, and how, and just don't beat yourself up. Now you know better, you'll go and do better. But what you did in that moment was based on what you knew in that moment.
I mean, everyone is just, they're doing the best that they can. given what they have to work with, based upon what they know. I really truly believe that the majority of us really on this planet, we're doing the best that we can.
We've all said things and done things that we think back and we're horrified about. Oh my
Oh,
God.
yeah.
Oh my God. I said that. I did that. Right? But we're in a moment and we reacted in that moment. You can't take those moments back, but you can own them. Yeah, you were utterly stupid in that moment. Right? You know, never to do something like that again. You know, because the reason it's sticking around is that compass, like, don't go there. It's not there to pull you down. It's there to say, boundaries, don't go there. You're going to
Yeah,
repeat
so
the
we could
same
just have all
thing.
those red flags just
Yeah,
waiting.
yeah.
That'd be
Whoa,
great.
big fat things are coming. And it's back to paying attention to the signs around us, right? And, you know, I think one of the biggest things people don't do is invest in themselves. And nobody goes through life without needing some help. We all need some help. And if you can go to someone and go, I just simply do not know what's in my way. I don't know why I'm carrying this. And you allow, you surrender to the process. That discovery of what it is becomes such a burden released, becomes such an aha moment. It becomes such a liberating moment of your freedom that you take that exaltation into other things of your life, right? But if we're not willing to invest in ourselves, if we're not willing to take this investigation into what's holding us back, because every single one of us has had something along the line that's holding us back, then we're not investing in ourselves. We're not truly loving ourselves or helping ourselves. What good are you to anyone else if you are not with love within yourself? It means that you're not sharing love. What are you sharing? Discord. You in a feeling of inadequacy, a feeling of insecurity. Do you really want to be going sharing that? Everybody's got enough of their own. They don't want yours. They want your love. So be the love. You want peace? Be the peace. You want love? Be the love. Right? You want harmony? Be the harmony. We've got to be it. So
We've
you
got
have to
to.
investigate how to be it. And that means finding out what's holding you back, because we've all got something.
And I know there's, you know, there may be a trigger for people to even give themselves permission to invest in themselves, whether that's investing time for yourself, investing money to do something for yourself or to work with someone, whatever that is. It's first giving yourself permission and realizing you are so worthy of this. You are
You,
so
let's say that again.
beyond.
Let's say that again. You are so worthy.
Yes.
Right?
It's required. It's, you know, it's not an earned
Essential.
Thing. It is required. It is essential.
It
It
is.
really is. And when you do that for the first time, you realize it. There's nothing like your first time of realizing that you've invested in yourself.
You're not just investing in yourself, though. Because the more abundant you become, the more your cup runneth over.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It spills out into the world. It impacts people you don't even realize.
No.
When we can change one person's energy, the whole thing is impacted.
Now we've got harmony.
There's that orchestra that's coming out.
Exactly. And don't we want that? You know, we want, life is rhythmical. Life has a fluidity to it. It needs to, like energy, it needs to constantly be in flow. All of the blood in our body needs to have flow. The water in our body needs to have flow. The energy needs to have flow. When we block our chi, block our energy, that's when things start breaking down. So if we have this mental block that is getting in our way, it's stopping the energy from bringing new clarity. So it is essential that you do remove that block, so that your chi and your energy can really thrive.
Yes. Here's to that.
We're meant to thrive.
We are.
Right? You know, I love the word flawsome. You know,
flawsome. I've never heard that.
I heard it a while ago and I use it all the time. Flawsome is, there isn't anybody that hasn't got some sort of little quirky flaw. But be awesome, because that flaw was given to you for a reason. Right? So we can be flawsome. This is, you know, we're awesome creatures in our flawsomeness, right? Just stop beating yourself up. And the more you're trying to live by this image or that expectation or that dictation, the more you're selling out, the more you are in tuned with your own beautiful flawsomeness, your own quirkiness, your own beautiful instrument, the more you play the music that resonates out and is invitational.
That is beautiful. I think that maybe we need to get in contact with Webster's Dictionary and make sure that flossom is inserted in there.
I heard it a while ago and I just loved it, and I think it just makes sense, you know. I'm also very much into, like, activism. We can speak out, and it's all about speaking out, but actionism is doing something about it. So if we've got something going on in our life and we want to moan about it, we're angry about it, we'll step into actionism. Do something about it. Do something about it. There are plenty of people out there that are willing to help you help yourself by allowing them to help you.
We just don't know how much longer we have here. And just the acceleration of asking for help is, it's so worth it. I know it's scary. I know it feels, there's many emotions connected to that, but you don't have time to sit in it.
And the human species is meant to live to like 150 or whatever. You know, we kind of be designed with good life, good air, without the possibility of doing that. But I think what we have to look at is that a good 70, 80 years, we can live very richly and abundantly, you know, and then we might start slowing down. As I said, I live with an 89-year-old who's got more strength than I have, right? And
Amazing.
she can run faster than I can, you know, so, and she's a black belt, and she probably could still toss me, and she's 5 foot dot, right?
Oh
So,
my goodness.
and she had polio when she was young, and she had a twin sister that died, and then she had a fiance that was killed 4 days before her wedding. You know, she's been through her
Oh
own
my
things
gosh.
in life, but she was brought up with don't look at what's happened as something happening to you, but happening for you. Life is about living and enjoying life no matter what happens. And, you
Wow, what an
know,
inspiration.
it is, you know, she's an inspiration. She doesn't believe it. I have to keep beating her up on it. Like, you know,
Yeah.
who wants to hear my story? You know, you don't realize I'm
I do.
inspiring.
I'm like,
Exactly.
what podcast and episode has she been on?
None yet, but
Do we need to create like a petition here for her to be
yeah.
on with you?
No, what I've actually bought her is a recorder for Christmas, for her to start recording her story, and then I'll start transcribing it. And what I'm going to do it instead of a book, we're going to actually blog it. Put it up as a blog, and it would be kind of a different chapter of her life as it goes through there, and do it that way because it should be shared. But she know, well, I'm nothing important, and I
Oh
say,
my
you know, and
gosh.
it's like, you know, she's still listening to her mother, even at this age, and she doesn't
Yeah.
realize what an inspiration is, and that inspiration is just purely the joy of life. I mean, she's watching all these Christmas movies right now that are driving me crazy. And we're going to be putting up the Christmas tree this weekend. And she's like a child when it comes
Oh.
to those things, because it just makes her so happy. And I think this is one of the things that we forget as we get older and weigh down in our tortoise shell. Instead of looking at all these experiences as a beautiful life lessons and wisdom, we get weighed down by the pain that we went through to get to that wisdom instead of the joy of what the wisdom is.
Wow. And that is all back to your entire reason, I'm assuming, of why you created your podcast. It's a beautiful title.
In fact, when I first started this, as somebody asked me to be a part of a podcast network, and I didn't know what a podcast was. And I 13 months with her live, and I call it the soap opera training because you are on the spot, you've got to deal with things right in the now. And then I started my own network. And when I started my own network, I still didn't know what I was doing. I just did. And as I did, and as I learned, I adjusted and readjusted. And now over 3,000 shows of absolutely awesome people like yourself who've decided to take your path, to go through your process, and to become a solution for someone else. That's what it's about.
What a gift.
I've had so many beautiful gifts on every show. It's just, this is, I'm spoiled. You know, I'm spoiled. I get to meet people like yourself from all over the world who have decided to step up, who have decided to be that solution to someone's problem, to empower people to stand up on their own and be their own beautiful flossom awesomeness, right? And that is what it's about. That is what it's about. Each one of us, all of our struggles are there just to show us the skills, the tools, the tenacity, the wisdom to share with others.
Yeah.
And those that choose to share, oh, you're the gems of the world. You really are.
Well, I hope it inspires more people to have a voice because we were given it, every
We
single one
were
of us.
for a reason,
Yeah.
right? You know, we're seeing so much angst in the world, so much anger, so much division. Part of that is there is an energy shift happening that is going into a higher consciousness. And those that are resistant to that higher consciousness, that are unwilling to do the work, who are still holding on to the fear, they know this is happening. And they're trying to hold on to the past, the what they know. Resistance is futile. You either
Yes,
join this consciousness of awakening or you get left behind. And if you get left behind, you kind of go the way of the dinosaurs because this consciousness is rising. It's rising in each and every one of us. It's rising as a higher vibration around the world. And it is beautiful to feel. It's beautiful to see. And we are the solution this planet needs. We've been the problem, but we're also now the solution.
yes. Yeah. I hope they come on the ride with us.
Yes, isn't it
I
wonderful?
hope they get on the train.
Ah, oh, this is where living is, baby.
Right?
Yes.
Yes.
This is where joy is. This is where exuberance is. This is where really the meaning of life is. It's a party. Come and join us.
Yes. You signed up for it. You might as well stay on the ride.
Why stay in pain, in fear, in somebody else's control when you can empower yourself to be that beautiful, flawsome, awesome bundle of love and joy that you can share with others.
Truly. Flossom. Bring your flossom.
Bring your flawsomeness. Yes, absolutely. So how do people get hold of you? How do they book an appointment? What is the next stage for them?
Yeah. Well, first, if they have questions, I would just say, send us an email, hello@rest, R-R-E-S-T. That way, if you have any questions you want to get answered, we can make sure we do that. But if you're like, I know that there's a next phase, there's something that's holding me back and I'm ready to break through it, then go to rest.com, rrest.com, and click on find a coach and it will get you set. You can choose, you know, how many sessions that you want to do. You can schedule based upon the time zone you're in. So that makes it really easy. You can also follow us on Instagram. We are at rest_inc. So rrest_inc. And we do have a little Facebook group called Rethinking Mental Wellness with Rest.
Excuse me, I have a
And
cold, so a cough came on. But also you have a YouTube, and of course the name is different. It's Dr. Mitra Rail.
Yes, I thought our team had changed the YouTube channel, but it might not have. But it's one of my co-founders, Dr. Mitra Ray, Mitraray. And so you can check out that too. There's a lot of Dr. Cindy, our neuroscientist, she does what's called neuro nuggets, which are so cute. She puts, you know, a little spin on neuroscience and a short amount of digestible pieces, and she kind of translates to the language of all the non-PhDs out there. So so you can check that out. And we have a self-worth meditation that I created. If that's something that you would want, all you would have to do is go to rest.com/self-worth. And you can do the meditation. I do believe, if I remember correctly, I threw in a little Ho'oponopono in with it, so you can feel the shift in yourselves as you send some forgiveness to the past and see what happens in the future.
If you look at the cellular structure that has revived, gone into a different frequency, and you watch how it grows, we have trillions of cells in our body. You know, if you've got things like cancer or illness, it's those cells that are breaking down. And as they break down, they contaminate the other cells around them. When you re-energize, revive, and refrequence those cells, they are plump and juicy and they support one another. So not only do we need to do that for the cells in our body, but we need to be the cell in the body of the earth, in the body of humanity, so that we can be plump and juicy and support each other.
Yes, let's plump them up. I love that. Yes. Yes, so good.
So again, the site is rest, REST.com,
Yep.
and everything is up there. But please, your inner child is trying to talk to you. Maybe it's trying to give you some advice and you're ignoring it. Or maybe it's telling you, my boo-boo needs kissing, whatever it is, please listen. And if you're unable to do that yourself, reach out, because they have this whole platform, as simple as it is, because it's simple, of just listening to that voice. And hearing it, truly hearing it, and releasing it, because that's, we carry so much with us that is just, we shouldn't carry. It's weighing us down, right? The shell of wisdom is heavy enough, and it's beautiful because we don't mind sharing that wisdom. But if it's carrying a whole load of armor on top of that, it's too much weight, right? Get rid
Way
of
too
the armor.
much.
Your vulnerability is the greatest gift you can give to yourself.
100%. Yeah.
Trust the process, go through the process, become free of what weighed you down, liberate yourself in your own beautiful inner child, and just be flossome.
Be blossom. Yes. I've learned so much today.
I've loved having you on, Christy. Thank you so much.
Oh,
This
it
has
was
been
a
absolutely
blessing.
wonderful.
Thank you, Sarah.
Everyone out there, remember, there's so much inside of you waiting to come out, good or bad. Release the bad. It's just, you don't need to be carrying that anymore. And let the essence of who you really are come out, because in that bloom of heart, love, kindness, caring, and joy of who you really are, that's when you really start serving yourself and humanity. And we're all serving each other. That's when we're plump and juicy and we keep on growing. Until next time, folks, bye for now. We hope that you enjoyed the show. Find all of our shows on selfdiscoverymedia.com under podcasts or selfdiscoverymedia/shows. And for all our current shows, go to What's New. We are supported by you, the audience. You'll see a nice big shiny blue button for one-time donations, or follow us on Patreon and you will be able to support us there. We enjoy bringing you such wisdom. And the next show will be up in just a moment.